and Now My Friends on TalkSport and Talk. A story of daring do in the face of daunting odds, of long shots and missed kicks, of heartbreak and heroism. It's a story full of the emotions felt by every single football fan listening now. And it's summed up in a stirring and beautifully written tale of Rotherham United's finest hour. And it's told in a book by Holly Hunt called The Greatest of Great Escapes, subtitled Rotherham United's Finest Hour, published by Pitch. And I'm delighted to say Holly Hunt, who's leading this great escape, joins us now. Congratulations, Holly. This is a great read, and it's kind of 10 years on since your club in 2015 had a disastrous start to their season up there in the Championship, and things were not looking good, were they? Can you tell us roughly what had happened to Rotherham before then? Because, again, like all football clubs, you've had a very checkered past kind of 20, 30 years.
Yeah, well, thanks for the reminder, obviously. Yeah, also, first of all, yeah, thank you for having me on the show. But, yeah, sort of the last 10 years or so, there hasn't really been a dull moment supporting Rotherham United. I've been a season ticket holder myself. I've watched from the stands, as I watched this season from the stands. But, yeah, unfortunately, that season, as the season before, we didn't have the best start. And I don't think anyone needs reminding that slow and steady doesn't win the race in the Championship usually. But, yeah, sort of, obviously we went through a few managers that season, then Neil Warnock came in for the last few months towards the end and just completely turned everything around when we thought all hope was lost, really. I think at one point, at our lowest point, we were 9 points adrift of safety. It was completely out of our hands and we just couldn't buy a win. But then to turn that round, we had an 11-game unbeaten run, which was a match to club record with some incredible wins and really memorable games along the way. But yeah, it was absolutely fantastic season.
And let's kind of go back a bit on the situation, because there's Neil Warnock, you know, idling away his time, loving life down in the Football Manager equivalent of a donkey sanctuary. He's down in Cornwall, isn't he? Living the dream. He's down there with his lovely wife, and he suddenly gets the call. But of course, it's Rotherham, and you're about 600 miles away from where he is. So how quickly did he get up there to have a chat about it all?
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's a South Yorkshire native, isn't he, Neil Warnock, and he'd played for Rotherham well sort of before my time of following the club. But yeah, I mean, he told a great story of how he'd got involved with the club. His wife, Sharon, was having some treatment at the time, and I've got the call from our chairman, Tony Stewart, and he took a little bit of convincing. I think they were they'd gone to the hospital for an appointment, I think he said, and of course, she was sort of complaining to the doctor about how he didn't front the cushions and things like that, and he overheard her and said, "Well, I'll sort of get off to Rotherham, then I'll get back up to South Yorkshire," and he did. And it was a great great little moment, actually, because at the end of the season, the fans raised quite a big sum of money for their donation, and Sharon penned an open letter to supporters, which was really, really nice and quite an emotional moment.
Now, when he takes over, of course, the transfer window, January, has closed. So he's got those 16 games. He's got the players. He's got maybe a few free transfers, which we'll get to in a bit. But I wanted to go back slightly when you said, because I had no idea, two things. I had no idea that Neil Warnock, as a young man, had played for Rotherham. And I had no idea that Neil Warnock was ever a young man. I've never seen the photograph of him you've got for the August. Look at that, Stuart, through the glass of my producer, August of 1971. I wouldn't say that was Neil Warnock in a lineup. I've always thought he was, you know, congratulations, Mrs. Warnock. He's a middle-aged football manager. But no, he was. You know, and he obviously cherished his time with the club, because that seemed to be part of his motivation for wanting to go back and doing what he could to help.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. I did a bit of research, actually, and I think it was something like, as a player, he'd gone on an 18-game unbeaten run with Rotherham, which was incredible, and probably a lot of people wouldn't sort of remember that. But I think that was great about this book, had the opportunity to weave in some of the history of Rotherham United, of sort of Neil Warnock's story, and everything that's sort of gone before for him, and bring some of those elements in and sort of weave it into, as well as it, you know, not just being a season review of the 2015-16 season, it sort of covered all of those different topics as well.
Now, he did have a reputation when he was going up there of being, and we know this is a side that all football managers have to be able to turn on, of being a fairly salty, full-on hairdryer type manager, either at half-time or before a game or after a game or during training. He didn't really start like that, though, did he, with Rotherham? Tell him how he kind of... It was almost like a kind of reading your lovely book, published by Pitch, by the way, The Greatest of Great Escapes, Rotherham United's Finest Hour by Holly Hunt. It seems like he almost kind of half hypnotises, half seduces the players.
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember his first game, we'd just come off the back of losing back-to-back games against Charlton and Bolton, who were our biggest relegation rivals at the time. So that was really sort of the end when Neil Redfern was in charge. But I think his first game was a goalless draw against Birmingham. Then we lost a couple of games. And I remember the Reading game when we lost. That really was quite a low point. And I think that's when we were sort of 9 points adrift. And then all of a sudden, this run came out of nowhere. It started with Brentford. It ended with Wolves when we eventually sealed safety and another season in the Championship. But some of the players that he really brought around, players that had sort of been written off a little bit, and he brought them back into the team. They looked completely new players, and some of them he ended up taking to Cardiff with him, probably not surprisingly.
Well, one in particular does the forward for you, and he emerges as one of the many heroes of this book. Tell us about Richard Wood, where he was at when Neil took over.
Yeah, I mean, he's sort of now a modern club legend, which you wouldn't have imagined for him back then. He'd been out on a couple of loans, I think Chesterfield and Fleetwood, and then end up staying, you know, for a number of years, winning promotions, trophies and things with Rotherham. But yeah, he came back into the side. And I remember him saying he sort of knew when Neil Warnock came in, because he'd known him from his day at the Sheffield Wednesday, Neil Warnock managing Sheffield United, that he knew he was going to be his sort of player. And he likes those experienced heads. And you saw a lot of those coming back into the teams and the younger players dropping to the bench, which they kind of understood. They'd make the odd cameo off the bench, but he really utilised those experienced players and brought them in. And he knows how to win in the Championship. There's all the stats in there about his promotions and his experience.
Well, you make the point of the book. I mean, and this is my thought. I remember hearing it again on Talk Sport when he first got announced he was taking the job on, was that, yeah, he knew the Championship and he knew how to succeed in the Championship because he knew how to get promotion out of the Championship. But you weren't really looking to be brutal. You weren't looking for a top four finish, were you? You were avoiding something looking to avoid relegation. So it was a different skill set almost he needed.
Yeah, exactly. And I do remember reading at the time, he'd said, you know, he wanted a challenge. I thought, well, if that's sort of this was the ultimate challenge, really. And obviously pulled it off, and he went on to do it again with Huddersfield, which was, if anything, they were in a more precarious position than we were. But yeah, it's just an absolute miracle worker, isn't he? And obviously we got the best of that. Even for those sort of few months that we cherished, had some of those incredible games. I remember the Derby game, we were 3-0 down in the last sort of 5 minutes. I think Neil said at one point, still one of the best games that he's ever taken charge of.
But I mean, you'd had near misses and you'd had hope kind of offered and then snatched away from you. A game just before he turns up, you're at Cardiff City, you go 1-0 down, you go equalised, and you go 2-1 up, and then, 20 minutes from the end, Cardiff get an equaliser. And that really sums up what football fans go through, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that season, we'd had hope and we'd had it taken away. For the first time, we'd won two games back-to-back, which we hadn't even done the season before. And obviously, strange timing. Steve Evans obviously left after those couple of games. But some of those results, I remember QPR game. It was actually when Neil Warnock came in the hospitality lounge as a guest. And we were 3-0 down. We lost 3-0, all three goals in the second half for QPR. And we should have been 3-0 up. I always remember that game in the first half. But, you know, you could say that for any game, couldn't you?
Well, two games before he turns up, you lose at home 4-1 to Charlton. And that sounds like a terrible game. I don't remember that one. But I do remember Bolton Wanderers 2, Rotherham United 1. Because as you said, Bolton, you were struggling against them to avoid relegation. That's the kind of game you thought you had to win at that stage of the season.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember thinking at the time, I'd been there on Boxing Day and we beat them 4-0, and you sort of think to yourself, what's happened to that team that pulled that result out of the bag? But yeah, obviously then it was time for a change. And as said in the book, who do you sort of turn to when you're fighting for your lives in the Championship? And there's really only one candidate for that.
I mean, it's interesting as well, the book, because it's very well written, this book, folks, by Holly Hunt. The book's called The Greatest of Great Escapes, Rotherham United's Finest Hour, published by Pitch. That there's no, you know, the fans say what fans say, but you do paint very clearly the kind of challenges that the outgoing manager, Neil Redfern, was up against, because it is such a tough, it's almost a cliche to say, but it is like the tough league, is it not, the Championship? Everyone knows, it's known, I mean, I think you say in the book somewhere that Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp would occasionally kind of go incognito to see Championship games, just remind themselves of, you know, what life was like in the Pyramid.
Yeah, I remember they both sort of praised the EFL and the Championship. You know, they always say it's one of the best second tiers, one of the most entertaining second tiers in the world. But yeah, I mean, it was just an incredible sort of season. And we'd had an incredible season the season before. We stayed up, we'd had a late points deduction and managed to overcome that. And you sort of think all that hard work's been undone. But obviously, you know, you're always sort of up against, we've always been up against it in the Championship. Obviously, we kind of become a bit of a yo-yo club. But again, at the same time, it's never a particularly dull moment as a Rotherham fan.
And what I love about the book is, folks, you get the final games and you get the scores. And they're not kind of boring detailed match reports. They're the kind of emotion of the game and the scores and whatever and the stories behind that. And it isn't, and you know, although we know the outcome, which is brilliant, it isn't a kind of cliched Hollywood from the day he takes over, he does well, because he draws his first game, then he loses the second, I think, doesn't he, Neil Warnock?
Yeah, we lost a couple of games. I think sort of going into the last few months of the season, we still had something like 8 or 9 of the top 10 to play. So you look at those games and you think, where are we going to get points from those? But somehow, just pulled it out of the bag. Let's say, I remember, obviously, big results, a lot of Yorkshire Derby, Sheffield Wednesday, Middlesbrough, Leeds, just some of those massive results. And then the one that didn't quite seal it, but it felt like it did, was MK Dons, because they were sort of our other biggest relegation rival at the time. But yeah, there's just some incredible results in there. I think the 11 game unbeaten run, the last time we put together a run like that was the 60s, I think.
It was almost beyond belief at the time. You kind of thought there is some magic spell happening up there. How did you feel about it as a fan? Did you keep thinking this next game is going to be the one when we fumble it and fail it? Or were you confident once the momentum started, Holly?
Yeah, I think once you get on those unbeaten runs, it's sort of, you sort of think it's too good to be true. You know, think at what point is it going to end? And you're always keeping an eye on other teams' results. You're always keeping an eye on MK Don's results and the teams around us. But at the end of the day, you can't really affect them. You've just sort of got to, you know, the old cliche, focus on what you're doing. But, you know, they just sort of kept coming. And you just, the belief just ends up growing. And at one point, I think we thought we were going to be unbeaten until the end of the season. But obviously, once we'd sort of got it over the line, quite naturally, you maybe take your foot off the gas a little bit.
And looking back, it must be a bit like Typhoon Warnock blew through your stadium, the Miller Stadium, because he was there, what, 3 months?
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a long time, but it sort of felt like it. I think everyone wished it would have been a bit longer. There was talks of a contract at the end of the season, but of course he wanted to go on and get...
He went to Cardiff and got them promoted, didn't he?
It was just, absolutely fantastic. Even just to have him in charge for those few months was just incredible, and to get to witness that.
No, I know you've got the spirit. You can see you've got the spirit of the club in your bones. You're obviously, you know, Rotherham fan through and through. But you obviously said you knew a lot of this stuff already. You've done interviews for it as well, and you've got great interviews going on in the book and insights that only players can have, and managers, and vice versa. Was there anything you learnt while researching this that surprised you, that genuinely surprised you, Holly?
I think sort of when the players have retired and they sort of remember these stories, and even when they were speaking about them, they were saying things were coming to mind that they'd forgotten. And that was just really interesting, obviously tracking some of them down. A lot of them are retired now, and you sort of get to the point where you find one and they pass you on, give you the number of another one. But just that was probably the most enjoyable bit. That's what I enjoy about books, sort of those little exclusive, those little nuggets, those stories. But that was absolutely fantastic to get to speak to some of those players who at the time, when I was a season ticket holder, I would have been probably trying to sign my shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, it's all fan stories, Rotherham story, it's Neil Warnock story. It is very much, I wanted to end on this, it is very much Richard Wood's story, because you say at the end of the book, in your thanks and acknowledgements, you say that for him, this was almost a prequel to what then became this remarkable Rotherham rebirth.
Yeah, it was only sort of the second season, I think, that he'd been there. And then everything that sort of went after that, you know, let's say the promotions, the Wembley goals, the games, was just an incredible season. Obviously, he left on a high as a sort of modern club legend, as you might say, which is absolutely brilliant to have him obviously do the forward. I know Richard Wood's been doing a bit of journalism, dabbling in that himself. So it was fantastic for him to contribute to that. And it just set the book up, obviously.
And you also thank a friend of yours at the end, Ryan Grant, and you say, you know, he read the whole book and he's not even a Rotherham fan. Well, I'm not a Rotherham fan. I'm a fan of another team ending in Ham, West Ham, but I've read the book. I want to read it again. And I urge you folks to get hold of a copy. It's a brilliant read. Trust me, somebody in your life, any football fan would read this book. Any Rotherham fan is going to eat it up with a fork and spoon. And don't forget, coming up in a couple of months is Father's Day. We've had Mother's Day, but still your mum might like it. Get hold of a copy from Pitch. It's a brilliant read. It's our TalkSport book of the week, called The Greatest of Great Escapes, Rotherham United's Finest Hour, brilliantly written by Holly Hunt. It's your first book, this one, by a publisher like Pitch, isn't it, I think, Holly? So please don't make it your last.
Oh, brilliant. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad you really enjoyed it.
Up the Millers. That was wonderful. Holly Hunt there talking to me, Paul Austin, you guys on TalkSport and Talk. We'll be live till 5:00.